and now it is just I have a different type of refined respect for Brother Klein and many men that travel have done this, men in this room that have preached overseas and done this work. It's work for sure. And we knew that going in, and it was evident every day. Let's just get started here. The men that went are, of course, Shay, far left, Brother Jeff Archer, who kind of headed this trip up from the minister at Jordan Park, of course, Brother Al's brother-in-law, and our translator is Elver Espinosa. He's a brother from Mexico, Chiapas, Mexico. He's a good friend of Jeb Reeves. Many of you know Jeb and some other men in the States that he's translated for. Of course, that's me sitting in a really weird position. We are at the highest hill or mountain there in Cartagena, in what they call the Old City. And behind us is what they call the New City. New being from 1946 or something. So before we get all the way through this, I'll talk a little bit about what the point was. The men there, I'll show the men there. To my knowledge, there isn't a church that supports one specifically. There are members from Jordan Park that support a brother Javier that I'll show in a minute. Individuals give him funding, and I think that was kind of the seed of the whole trip to Jeff's kind of check on the work there. Let's go to the next one here. This is I should have blown up the cities, but you can see Cartagena right there. That's the city we went to. It's a huge city, a coastal city, so it's very touristy. And that was our home base. That's where we hung out, and that's where we started. There's also a church there. We left September 9th, and we flew from Huntsville to Washington, D.C., two-hour flight. From D.C. to Panama, that was a five-hour flight, and then a two-hour flight from Panama to Cartagena. We made it to Cartagena, and the elders asked us what the plan was. They asked Brother Archer what the plan was, and it wasn't very clear what the plan was. We knew we were going to be working, we were going to be sweating, we were going to be preaching and teaching, but we didn't know the structure until probably the last day. We realized, oh, I see the structure that they were going for here. We were in Cartagena. There's also a city called Turbaco, which is kind of like the Madison to our Huntsville, Cartagena being Huntsville. We traveled to Turbaco often. That's where a brother, Javier, I'll show his picture in a minute, he was kind of the spearhead. He's a real incredibly hard worker who directs a lot of these studies and helps establish churches. There's also a city called Artajona, which Shay will mention more about, real special trip there, and they've got a really specific story and forming of a church there. And then a city, and it's called Las Pedras. It's not on the map because that's what the locals know it as. The city name is so difficult to say that the locals don't even say it. So that's where we went. And then, of course, I say of course, you don't know this yet. Then we went to Villa Nueva, which is the last church that we visited and worked with all the people there. I'm going to try to be brief. There's a lot. We did a lot, and there's a lot. Cartagena looks like, you know the scene in Mary Poppins where Bert draws on the sidewalk and they jump into the painting? It's kind of like jumping into a postcard. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. Cartagena is, like I said, very touristy. It's right there on the coast. Right here, that's the coast right there. And we were able to have a day, at least half a day, where we could kind of explore and catch up and study and also just have good conversation while we visited the city of Cartagena. Colombia, let's talk a little bit about cultural differences. Of course, Brother Klein went there 2 years ago in Bogota. which is on the other side of the country, basically. The part of the country you want to visit. You don't want to go into the jungles. But it's a rural place in areas. It's a pretty dirty place compared to where we are. This is, that was everywhere. That's how they collect their trash. And there was one time in particular, we were in Las Piedras, the first city we visited. And we couldn't drink the water. You know, we couldn't drink the running water. So we had bottled waters, but what we really consumed was Coca-Cola. We had an unbelievable amount of Coca-Cola. And there was a time when I was carrying these bottles. We're walking around, door knocking. I'm carrying all this trash in my arms because I didn't know what to do with it. I saw four public trash cans the whole time I was there, and two of them were in the airport. One brother said, throw it on the ground. So I just had to drop it on the ground. I guess I'm confessing some sins right now, I suppose. And so that was really bizarre. But it was, compared to here, there's trash everywhere. And you can see that man on the left, don't know really what he's carrying, but that was a way of getting around the rural areas, donkeys and horses and things like that. Speaking of filth, I won't go into detail of what this room is on the left, but it's where individuals can partake in some sinful actions. There's a sign on there that says, "We are at your service." With there being young ears, you can understand what that building is for. And that's right there on the main drag. This place is overcome with sinful behavior and Catholicism. Lots of false teaching. That's the main, probably the main religion that they're teaching against is Catholicism. That picture on the right is a sanctuary on the high mountain where that first picture was, where they have services every Sunday. And the woman there in the red is actually a member of the church in Cartagena. I forget her name. But she's a tour guide. That's what she does for a living. And she was telling us, in this sanctuary, they have drinking parties and have relations in the building in the doorway, and that's part of what they do. And you can imagine it's just it's complete opposite of what God would want us to do. So not only is there a culture shock and just the differences, but just the way what they consider to be worship in their Catholicism and some morality. Some more about the cultures. Dogs are everywhere. They're like squirrels here. They are everywhere. They even have a caution dog crossing signs. They're not pets. They're pests. They're all over the place. This is pretty cool, I think. We put Zoe on a motorcycle and zip around. Full families ride motorcycles. You probably remember that from Brother Klein's report a couple years ago. That's the main, probably the main point of transportation. And you have to watch out because they don't slow down. Okay, these are the brothers that are kind of the trailblazers for the area. That family on the left, that's Javier and his wife Liliana and their daughter Nicole. Javier is an unbelievable workhorse. This man does not stop. He's 36 years old, and he does not stop. He is on fire for the Lord. And this picture on the right, I realize I didn't have a good picture of the three men that do most of the work. This is Jesus. He's 33. He lives in, or 32. He lives in Las Piedras. We'll see that city in just a second. And this guy is Ezekiel. Ezekiel doesn't live right in this area. He lives in a more northern city. But these three men are just on fire for the Lord and the spreading of the gospel. Not only that, but how true to the word they are. They're so conservative and just content with what they have, but not complacent spiritually. It's unbelievable and very encouraging. The first place we visited was Las Piedras. This is a church that meets in Jesus' home. Jesus right there. It meets in his home, in his front room. They have about 15 members or so, 15 to 20 members. And that's a good work going there with Jesus, kind of heading that up and helping encouraging the members. It's kind of a funny picture. This guy, Miguel, kind of snuck in this picture down here. He was actually our bus driver And he drove us around in a van, I should say. And the woman that's a tour guide, that's his wife. So they have a tour guiding contract where they drive people around. So it was really nice to be able to jump in the van with someone who knew the roads and could get right to where we're going every time. They're both members of the church in Cartagena. So this was September 10th, I believe, on Tuesday. Las Piedras here. And we met with the men here. These are just several of the men that I was mentioning. It's just kind of difficult. That's Ezekiel there. This guy is Gregorio. That's Elver, our translator. I forget his name. That's me and Shay. And this is Jesus' father. We'll talk more about those guys later. And then here on the left, you can see this. What we did, we just rallied up and we met at Las Piedras, which is about an hour drive from Cartagena, a little more. Probably an hour and a half. Bumpy roads and cattle in the way and all sorts of things to get to Las Piedras, which is the furthest east city that we went to, right by the river. We went door knocking. I say door knocking. We didn't knock on one single door. We just went straight up to people, and they were already sitting outside or sitting in their doorway, or they didn't have a door or whatever. We just started talking. Lolita is a woman that we met with first. We split up into two groups. Nothing specific other than all the white guys stayed together with the translator and made sure we didn't get lost or killed. And we met with Lolita first. We came and sat down, and Brother Archer, Jeff, kind of led a short discussion. And he preached to her the parable of the sowers. And we're going through. She'd never heard the parable before. And she knew who Jesus was because she had Catholicism in her background. He started talking about the different hearts that the seed falls on. And when it got to the good soil, she started to cry. She started to tear up, and she understood just by this parable where her life was and where she needed to be. She has a lot of obstacles in her life. She believes. She cannot read, so she's not able to study on her own. And her husband is abusive, I guess it's a general word you can say, and just prohibits her from attending worship. I talk about her specifically because her case is so similar to so many people there. There's a lot of ignorance with the word, just with the Catholicism that's ingrained in them. And they soak it up. As soon as we started explaining and talking, we used parables a lot as a good door opener, which is a good thing for us to talk about to others. Because we can talk about parables. We just ask them what they know about Jesus and find a common ground there. This is Jesus on the left. This kind of shows how it looked going door knocking, puerta de puerta, door to door. And we went to this woman here. I don't remember her name either. But here Elver is really laying into the word. We talked with her for 30 minutes or so, and it was really good. We talked about the wide and the narrow gate. We talked about baptism. It was very good, but she didn't budge. A lot of people listen, and they just kind of sit and listen. But the seed is being planted. We had to remember that we were sowing, and we had to put that in their hearts and know that there were brothers there to take care of them. This is probably, I don't know, six blocks, we could say, from Las Piedras church building. That evening, this is actually a video. It's probably not going to work here, but this is another more door-to-door where we met with this man who was out working with his sons, and so we're kind of using the environment around us. He's working with his sons, so I told him the parable about the prodigal son. And we talked to him. They're happy to hear, happy to listen, then invite them to church. Services just down the road. Jeff preached that evening. He pulled from Mark 16:16 and used five different points to explain how people may interpret that, but what the truth really is. He preached all in Spanish, which is really impressive. Huge asset, Mr. Archer is. And then here, back here, where we're all sitting in a van, we're sitting in the van because it was 9 at night, and we were sitting still, and sweat was just rolling down everywhere. And so we got in this van and turned on the AC, and we sat in the van for about an hour and a half. And this is Gregorio. I misspelled that. He's teaching about institutionalism and how it's not what we should be doing. Jesus, you see I put Venezuela. These are Venezuelans. There are lots and lots of Venezuelans that come over to Colombia because of the economic crisis in Venezuela and the government problems that they have. It's just unbelievable. So they come to Venezuela, or they come to Colombia for some freedom and for some flexibility. Jesus is from Venezuela. The man sitting next to Shay is Luis, which there are several men named Luis, so be prepared to be confused. And then Gregorio is teaching here. He's teaching to Jesus' father, who's right there. I forget his name as well, but he's teaching to him, and he's a preacher in Venezuela. But Jesus has realized that his father is teaching error. And so we sit in the van for about an hour and a half and go over the differences in God's word and what men are doing. He has some diagrams there. This was super encouraging. This really kind of opened our eyes to how conservative and fixated these men are on the truth. And if there's any nudging, any budging, they call it and wave the red flag. So we went from Las Piedras the first day. The next day we went to Arjona, which is the closer city to Cartagena. This is where Javier, which is standing right here, this is his hometown. It was an easy travel there, maybe 30, 40 minutes. You'll see the door is open here. We'll talk more about that in a minute. This man here, his name is Orlando. I'll show a next slide with a close-up of him. His name is Orlando. This area is where he works. He's a vendor, a street vendor. His specialty is carrot juice. He uses 25 pounds of carrots or something a day. We have to drink it. It's interesting. So that's what he does. He sells carrot juice and beads and necklaces and things. Javier and another brother were preaching in this area where they're getting lunch while they're traveling, and met Orlando, came up to Orlando, and were trying to preach to him. And he said, "I don't want to hear it." He said, "If you're talking about women pastors, I don't want to hear it. If you're talking about this and that, I don't want to hear it." He said, "Nobody's doing what God says." And they have to explain, "No, we are doing what the Bible says." And he said, "No one does that. No one goes by the actual text." They sat down and studied with him, and he was baptized. He was open to the truth for the first time. He's been a Christian for about 4 months, and he's on fire. This is a fun picture. This is a close-up of Orlando. He was wearing this really cool hat that I'm wearing, and I told him I liked your hat. And I was wearing one of Dustin's hats, and he took his hat off real quick and traded with me. So Dustin's supposed to write me a check for international advertisement sometime soon. He's still wearing it. He wore it every day. This guy is on fire. This guy is, he's got a tough life, a difficult life, with an unbelieving wife and stepsons and a lot of difficulties, but he is dead set on the truth and doing what God wants. So while in Arjona, we met up with Orlando. You'll see him there, with this older man named Rafael. These men realized that there are some Christians, enough Christians in Arjona, where they think they can make a church happen. They can get enough people together to make a church. This is what this house is here, a prospective location for a place to worship, $200 a month, I believe. We came here specifically to speak to Rafael. Rafael knew that we were in town, and he just said, "Come here and encourage me." He's been a Christian at that time. He had been a Christian for a week and a half. He has lots of health problems, lots and lots of health problems, but his mind is very sharp. He's very much so with it. And he asked us to come and to encourage him. And that's what we tried to do. We kind of talked to him and brought up scripture. And one of the last things that was said was, "You asked us to come encourage you," but he truly encouraged us. 78 years old. And he didn't hear the truth till about 4 years ago. And he said, he made a comment and said, "I have 74 years wasted." He's an older man, but very bright, very sharp, and again, just dedicated to what God would have us to do. So we left there. We went and had lunch. This is the closest American thing we had, chicken and cheese and french fries. And this restaurant is specific to us because it had this magical box that blew cold air on us. This place and our hotel room were the only places with air conditioning. Everywhere else was fans or sweat. This restaurant is owned by Orlando's best friend. We met with some waiter, a waiter that worked here. We had Bible studies. So we were free to worship and to study the Bible in this room. One day in particular, we stayed here for probably 3 or 4 hours just because it was air conditioned, but we had study after study, long and deep and really very good studies. This is Raphael, closer up. I have Eastside members here. I'm getting backwards. Members gave, you all gave a good bit of money, and I appreciate it. And the brothers there appreciate it. We gave Raphael some money. like I said, he has a lot of medical issues, and this will help alleviate a lot of his costs. And compared to the States, we would think these people are just getting by. They're completely content. This is what they have. This is their life. Shay had to kind of rein me back every now and then. I kind of wanted to fix everything. And but it was a joy and a blessing to be able to give him some money. And with the exchange rate, it's kind of funny. We gave him $100,000 and 100,000 pesos. It's kind of a fun fact. Then we went to Cartagena that evening, back to Cartagena, a little bit different spot from where our hotel was. And we met in this building. This is where they meet for church services. This evening, Shay and I preached. Shay's lesson was titled, "What is Truth?" And mine was "Going Through Storms." Talked about Peter walking on the water with Jesus. It was very encouraging to be with these people, these brethren. Very vocal. I mean, they'd say amen all the time. It was wonderful. It was just very encouraging. They sing loud and from the heart, and it was just amazing. It was a joy to be with these people. I really fell in love with all of them. They had their air conditioning on up here, just enough to keep us cool. Yeah, amazing people. Shay stole my line. But it's a line that we said multiple times, that even though our language was different, our words were different, we were all saying the same thing, and that we could all agree and come to God's word and be encouraged by each other. This is the this man, Jorge, is he preaches here in Cartagena, and that's, I don't think it's his son, I can't remember, but this young man, Alan, is also a very enthusiastic Christian who traveled with us a little bit and came to Arjona to worship. Here, he's talking about the difficulties of how this church started. They split from an institutional group. I'm going to try to be quicker because there's a lot to cover. He split from an institutional group, and he was telling us the woes and difficulties here of families splitting. Brothers, they don't see anymore, but they started with about 4 people, and they're up to a good strong number now. This evening here, we talked about institutionalism. You talked about a lot of analogies to kind of help people wrap their minds around what's going on there. This is a nearby restaurant to the hotel. And that's Ezekiel, Javier, and then Elver, our translator. This day was the half day of being able to tour the city with the brother and sister that are tour guides of Cartagena. I forget the story about these big shoes, but we stood in some big shoes and wore those hats. We went to the top of the mountain where I mentioned where the sanctuary Catholic meeting place is. And we were bombarded by all these vendors and these people trying to sell us things. And then Ezekiel here pulled aside one woman and gave her some literature. And they had a Bible study right outside our van. We had already sat down in the van, and they were just having to study right outside the door, so we just had to take pictures and also just have to sit there because some of these people will only be receptive to locals, you know. And so we sat and we were just encouraged to see their work. It was amazing. And then more people joined. There was a big crowd around the van, and we were just trapped inside watching, and it was an amazing thing. In the tour we got, these guys were blown away by Shay's beard. They loved it. They went crazy. And then we went to eat that afternoon. This is a regular appetizer they have, just fun fact, and that cow's tongue that Shay and I had, it was delicious. And this is Brother Ezekiel. We're talking about scenarios. Anytime we sat down and ate, we had biblical discussion, whether it was just speculating, whether it was issues that they had there where they worshiped, or whether it was questions they had about different things. It was amazing. It was really, really wonderful. And here, Ezekiel is using he's using two straws to represent a man and a wife. And they're talking about marriage and divorce, and we talked about that a lot. You can see that's coffee. We had coffee probably more than we had Coca-Cola. There's more coffee. Then that evening, let's see. Yeah. That evening, we went back to Trabaco, where Javier preaches. This is their church building. Before services, we met with a sister that worships with them, and she offered us hot coffee. And so we waited, we walked around, and did some little things before going to worship with that group there in Tobacco. Jeff and Elver preached that evening. This is a good group, a really good-sized group, and this is probably the nicest building we were in, size-wise and maybe facilities. Through that back door is their classrooms, and it's just really a concrete slab with a few walls standing up, no roof. That's their intent to build later. And a toilet. There's a toilet outside. Let's see. I think this is a different day. I tried to color code the colors on the slide to help me remember, and I failed to put the date up there. We got stopped by the police, which we kind of got nervous about because Miguel didn't explain what was going on. So we're taking pictures like tourists and just thinking, okay. And it was a moving violation, and we had to pay for that. So part of going to these places, you know, here, if a preacher visits, we take them out to eat. You know, we take care of everything. Your meals are paid for, this and that. But as coming there and visiting, we paid for everything, which was fine. We were happy to do it. It was a little reverse culturally, but we were happy to do it. So as soon as we got pulled over, Miguel said, "I need your money." And so that was just kind of a fun thing to remember. Here we go, September 13th. We went to Villa Nueva. This is the northernmost city where we visited, the last day that I'll report on. We came to this brother's house, Luis, his house. He's the preacher at the church at Villa Nueva. He has three sons. His oldest one's name is Luis. His nickname is Bachi. He has a second son whose name is Luis. And he has a third son whose name is Luis. I don't remember their nicknames. So that was really confusing. We met here because Luis Bachi had been considering being baptized, but had some hang-ups for one reason or another. And his dad, Luis Sr., just wanted us to bring him some encouragement. We came to their home here in Villa Nueva, which is very close to the church building. We came and visited with them. And we came to their house. They breed pigs. So we had a Bible study right by the pigs. And you see Jeff looks really comfortable right there. And it was a great study. It was really good. We all sat in a circle around each other and opened up our Bibles and talked to him. This is his sister, who is not a Christian, who has heard and listened and kind of had that complacency that a lot of people there have. They hear the truth, they recognize the truth, but just kind of sit on it. And so those are kind of hard walls to break down, but luckily Luis had some vulnerability and listened and opened up to the Word. We talked to him. He was very passionate about being baptized in the sea, even though we had a nearby swimming pool and other places where we could have a baptism. We spent a while talking to him about the necessity of being baptized no matter where we are. But he insisted on going to the sea, so we made a 45-minute drive. And I was fortunate enough to be able to baptize him. There's Elver translating there. This is supposed to be a video, but it's not working. Then we came out on the shore, and we sang some hymns. It was wonderful. As soon as he came up, he was a little bit timid when we talked to him, but he came up crying, and It was wonderful. He said, this is, I forget what we said, something like, what a beautiful place to be in God's creation. He said, this is why I want to be baptized here. Just kind of a nice sentiment of the moment. This is the whole group that was there. That young lady is his girlfriend, Bachi's girlfriend, and then his brother to his left. That picture on the right is a listener on, an onlooker there, who was really trying to sell us things, but he was listening to everything we were saying. So Ezekiel came up to him and preached to him too, asked him if he had any questions. This is a thing that Ezekiel does with people who are new converts. He likes to get their picture made with their hand in the air. This young lady is from some denomination, I forget, Bachi's girlfriend. And here Ezekiel's giving her an example of, I kind of forget actually. It was a really good example, though. That's why I took a picture. Oh, they studied with her. Oh, the strength of the church, right. If it being, okay. Anyway, they studied with her for a very long time. A big storm came through and they kept studying through. After the storm, we went to the church services. This is a really nice moment where Luis Sr. presented his son in front of the church. And he said, this is my son and now he's my brother. That was a really nice thing. That's a flashlight above our heads. We got there with the fans blowing and the lights on, and that building only gets about 6 hours of power. And so we preached under a flashlight, and it was really, really, really hot. And there were political campaigns going outside, and it's unbelievable how loud those people are. Shay preached that evening as well as I, and really receptive group, very good listeners, and their pages turn quickly and loudly and very encouraging. And then finally, I believe this is the last line. We met with Luis, and he talked about the difficulties there in Villa Nueva, and he was asking for some help, and we came and sat with him. His dilemma was that they were receiving support from, he was receiving support from a church north of there, and he had just understood and was open to the fact that they are an institutional group. And he wasn't comfortable doing taking funds anymore. But that funding supplied all of their rent for their building. And he knew he just needed to cut the tie, but it was going to be detrimental in his eyes to miss that rent. So this is us giving money for the first month's rent. And that came from money from members here. And to help him keep going, and we're in contact with him and his son. We were there for 8 days, and we have a million stories, and I've already gone way over when I should have, but Shay, you have 7 minutes, I think. So, but I appreciate your attention. Thank you for your encouragement. It was amazing. I wish that everyone could do it, have a chance to be able to visit a place where they're working so hard and just on fire for the truth. Thank you.
Well, good evening. For the final days of our Cartagena, Colombia trip, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to stick a little closer to my notes than I normally would during a lesson, so don't let that distract you. But when we get this pulled up, I think this is Saturday. Saturday is when we're going to start, September 14th. Yeah, 14th through 16th is really our last working days there. So we started out the day picking up medicine for Jesus' family in Venezuela. You can kind of see these three pictures. So that's all of what we bought. This is the total there. You can't see that. 1,049,000 pesos. So don't get worried. That equaled $106.11 for us. And that was from the support that you guys gave us to take over there. We went from there to meeting at Orlando's house, who's somewhere in Arjona, so outside of the actual city there. And there, of course, he prepared his carrot juice, which we got accustomed to, whether we liked it or not. No, it was really good. Actually, I'd never had carrot juice, so that was just a first experience for me all around. He also prepared for us beef empanadas and chicken arepas, which is, that's what you see here. It's kind of a pastry filled with different meats. That was actually chicken there. That was a little snack. And after snack, he showed us kind of what he did for a living. He not only prepares the juice, sells the juice on the streets, but he makes these beads. I don't know really what ratio of his work comes from that, the money made, but he made each of us a bracelet to take home, and then actually Micah and Jeff got extras for some of their family members. Sadly, he didn't have any for my dog, so I didn't get to take any more. So when we were waiting for everybody to meet us there, we kind of walked around a little bit of Orlando's neighborhood, and this is maybe four houses down. We met this family here that Javier had been talking to. I believe they were Christians, but like everybody else, they've been converted from Catholicism over to the truth, and so that's just everywhere. Almost everybody you meet will have some kind of influence from there. And this is not an uncommon structure that you see. It's just kind of, I really couldn't tell what it was. It looked like maybe packed mud and sticks. They make do with what little that they have. So this is actually us giving the medicine to Jesus there. I didn't really know how to pose for this picture. It was like one of these political pictures, but there we delivered that to him. Now this is at Raphael's house. We went back to Raphael's house. I don't know if this is his pet or if it's Robert, if it's his son Robert's house, but we went to their house because his son Robert has been contemplating baptism, but he had an interesting dilemma where the marriage laws there, and I may be butchering this, but this is the way I understand it. There's two ways that you can be married. One way is you and this other and your spouse, you agree to live together, and you have witnesses of you living together for a certain time, and then that's one way you're married. Another way is you have to go get to offices to actually sign legal documents to actually say that you are officially married. And that way is a lot more expensive. Obviously, I think the other way is absolutely free. But he didn't feel comfortable with only being the agreement part of it. So he wanted this marriage certificate, but he didn't have, I don't know if it was, if he didn't have the money or if that was part of it. But he just kept delaying being baptized because he didn't want to be, once he was baptized, if he had this relationship and not married, he would be living in sin. So he wanted to take care of the marriage first and that. But there was a video here, and since it's not working, outside this door, Micah mentioned how loud the campaigning was that one night. Well, it was nothing compared to, there was a bulldozer backhoe fixing the streets right outside of Raphael's house, and I had a picture of it, or we have a picture of it. It's just, you know, dirt, and they're in the middle of reconstructing the road, basically. So all of that was going on, and needless to say, they can't close the doors because that's their airflow, right? And so we had to keep those doors open and try to translate and have this dialogue and conversation and study all at the same time, when it took us probably an hour just to figure out what the problem was, because Jeff wasn't kind of understanding the marriage laws there either. But we finally got that taken care of and understood. And I think this was actually taken before, but I think we all felt like that afterwards. It was so tiring. And I mean, we're so very thankful for Elver's help in translating for us. And also, I told Jeff this, that I was very thankful he was there, because I really wouldn't have known really how to handle that situation. But we kind of killed two birds with one stone in this meeting. That was one stone, getting convincing his son that he needed to be baptized, so he needed to get the marriage certificate as soon as possible. The other one was, once he's baptized, where are they going to meet? because there's not a church in Arjona at that time. But Raphael, in this meeting and talk, Jeff convinced Raphael to Raphael actually offered up his house there. That he's got some pretty, we'll see some pictures later on, got a pretty sizable room for a small congregation to meet. So that's what they agreed upon. They agreed upon that the Christians in Arjona were going to meet in his house until they were able to get the funds to move into a rentable place in the city. So after we convinced him he needed to be baptized today and not wait, this is Orlando's motor cart. We took his cart and another cart. It was maybe a 10-minute drive from where we were at Raphael's house to where the pool was that Robert, Raphael's son, was going to be baptized. So we took these transports there. And there's another video, but that's Robert's baptism there. And the thing about Robert was, okay, it actually works. The thing about Robert was every question we asked him about why he needed to be baptized and why just everything, everything was just, all of his answers were filled with zeal and love and wanting to do what's right. So that was really, really encouraging to see him, especially afterwards, just so happy to be baptized and be welcomed into the family. And it was the whole week there. I mean, it was a blessing to be with our brothers and our new brothers. And then there's Ezekiel doing his trademark there. Now, after we leave there, we went back to Orlando's house, and he prepared us this lunch, this feast of a lunch. I will not try to describe everything that's on this plate, but it was a very hearty meal, and I think we all earned it. We all ate everything. Excuse me. $17.70 came from us to help compensate his cost in preparing that food. And then, so this is Orlando's wife here. She's sewing. I believe, if we didn't misunderstand, that's actually her job to make things, but also repair things for other people. And then, of course, Ezekiel doing what he does best and finding the best places for a breeze. So we leave Orlando's house after lunch. And this Catholic family, the dad has been studying with the brethren there about what the actual truth is. So we went to have a study with him. Well, he had to work. I don't know if they knew that what he was doing or whatever, but he had to work. So instead, we stayed there and tried to have a study with his family. Micah took over for this. His lesson was comparing Moses and the Red Sea to baptism in our life, after baptism. Well, halfway through Micah's study, the kid, there was this girl here. You can kind of see him, it's kind of dark. That's the younger brother. There's a middle teenage brother. He was listening, everybody was listening, very attentive. But he kind of doubled over in pain. Excuse me, sorry. He doubled over in pain. We didn't really know what was going on. They thought it may have been originally maybe like a gas buildup in his back. And Orlando did some kind of thing. He rolled up newspaper. This is going to sound crazy. He rolled up newspaper, lit it on fire, and that kind of stuck it in his ear. So apparently, if the problem's down here, you want to stick it in this ear, it kind of cross out, but it sucks. It creates a vacuum. Do that. So he tried that, and that didn't work. So they actually, Jeff made the observation that it may have been something more serious, maybe like the appendix, you know, bursting. And so they ended up taking him to the hospital. And needless to say, that we didn't study after that. But we also don't know anything about what happened to the kid afterwards. But on the way back, we had these discussions about things like this happening over there. This one seemed legitimate because the mom was pretty torn up about it. But they've had it happen where they'll be in the middle of a study and something like this, very same thing will happen. but they're doing it just to get out of, you know, having to study. So this is the kind of thing that they're having to deal with. And the denominational people there will see something like this and they'll say, oh, well, it's a demon, right? It's a demon that's causing him to be in pain. But Jeff made the acute observation that hospitals wouldn't fix the demon. So there's that. Now, since we ended the night a little earlier, we decided the Micah, Jeff, I, and Elver, we all decided we were going to go just have a, we hadn't ever come together for just a recap of the day, just a, I don't really know what you want to call it, but a cool down, you know, of the day. So we went to our favorite chicken spot that we've eaten at basically every night, just to get ice cream and talk about the day. And we had a very interesting, two guys came in, and one of them went to the bathroom, the other guy sat down, and I saw the other guy look over as we were talking, kind of look back at us. I was like, oh, he can understand what we're saying. So he walks over to our table, says, where are you guys from? It's a very deep voice. Says, where are you guys from? And we say, well, we're from the United States. You know, we're from Alabama. He goes, oh, I've been San Diego, blah, 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 blah. And telling us all the places he went. And that guy, it was a colorful character. The only way that I can think to end a crazy, hectic day like this is having a conversation with this guy. After everything, he welcomed us to his country. So it was all good. So that leads into Sunday morning. Sunday morning, we went back to Tobacco and worshiped with them there. That's their building there. And then preparing the Lord's Supper trays. We saw this earlier in Micah's talk, but on Wednesday night, the speaker was actually set up here and the chairs were facing that way, facing the speaker. So it was a little different configuration, but that's the same building we were at before. I did the morning Bible study, and then Micah preached the actual worship sermon. And here is, this was one of my favorite things of this of the trip, the selfish part of me. This is an outline from my grandfather, Bill. This is a lesson that he preached in 1962 in Fultondale. Michael was lucky enough to find this and give it to me so I could preach it. The problem was that it wasn't an actual sermon. I had to translate it into a class. So that was interesting. But nonetheless, being able to preach that was quite an experience. But the brethren there, you know, they once I kind of got them to start talking. I mean, they're very very vocal, very eager to learn, very eager to just participate, which was very great. And this is a couple other pictures of us and the family there. Micah, you can't really tell; it's pretty dark. Micah was sweating profusely. That's not just dark from the PowerPoint. I mean, it was bad. I was sweating as well, but there was something about Micah. He couldn't keep it together. These are actually the two. That's Robinson. I don't remember his name. These are the two guys that work most with Javier. They're his top two guys that help him with the work. And this is us being fun with Miguel here. Miguel, I think Micah alluded to this. He's an interesting character, and once you get him going, he's something else. And then this is our family in Tobacco. Now, 23. I think I calculated it. 23.58 was given for from our members to take over there for their. We decided to support with their contribution there. So that's 23.58 for them. We went from the church to Javier's house. This is actually his kitchen, and we're sitting where this picture is being taken. This is where we're sitting to eat, and off to the right there is their bedrooms. But I think that's black bass. I've never ever eaten something like that was presented that way. It was great. She prepared all of this right there. So, and with, and this is Micah's chicken there. But everything was so great. And the hospitality with all these people was just phenomenal and very encouraging. So that night at 4, I think we ended up leaving right after lunch at Javier's and going to worship here. This is Raphael's house. This is the place that we agreed that he would open up to the members there for the congregation, as it were. And I don't know how many people. I think that's 22 people total that aren't even from Arjona, but the surrounding places and the people that we've already met along the way, they've come to support this first ever service in Arjona for the church there. So that was really exciting. And something I failed to mention about the morning service, when they closed, Javier was making his announcements. And he got to the point where he was announcing the new church in Arjona. And he broke down. He showed emotion that I had not seen in him yet. But if I had something simple to sum up that experience, that's a beautiful thing, a very beautiful thing, and that's an understatement, but a beautiful thing to be there to see God's word actually manifesting physically in a place. So that's great, very encouraging. This is Nicole. That's Javier's daughter. She's singing a Spanish song with Elver there, and kind of caught her in the act. But and that's actually the Lord's Supper, the first Lord's Supper there. I believe Orlando, that was from some of his juice. And again, we decided to contribute to their support as well, giving the same amount, $23.58. Orlando had also expressed earlier in the week that he needed a little extra support just to get by. So we decided to give him in our currency, it was $29.48, which is a lot for them. We were happy to do it. He was happy to accept it and had open arms for that. And that's also, I believe, that's Raphael there and his son Robert. I believe that's them basically presenting the story of how they're meeting in his house. I'm not sure, but after that night, we go back to the Pollo Hermana, the chicken restaurant we frequented while we were there, and just to grab some coffee with ourselves, but then Javier and Ezekiel and Liliana and Nicole, Javier's wife and daughter, joined us. And that was $23.58 for the food for them, and then ice cream and coffee for us. After that meal, we weren't really that hungry. This is back at the hotel. Jeff had heard, I think it was Javier had expressed the need to have an iPad for use in Bible studies and just preaching when he's about. So Jeff elected to get Javier, Ezekiel, and Jesus all iPads. Jesus wasn't there for these pictures. Liliana got leftovers. And we got mochilas. So the mochilas, these bags here, these were a gift from Javier and Liliana for us to take back with us. And that ended Sunday, and that was our last work day. So the 16th was kind of our free day to do whatever. We elected to go in a mud volcano. There's no other pictures other than this. But that was an experience. I guess get with me and Micah if you want to know more. But yeah, so that's what we did. And everything this day, it was taken out of our personal funds. So no worries there. So that took up half the day. And then we ended back in Cartagena. We went back to the historic part to get Bibles for the brethren. And that totaled out to be $155.90 for those. I'm not sure exactly how many we got. I know that we got 18 of a specific kind of Bible. And then Javier got a... Javier, Ezekiel, and Nicole all got another Bible as well. But so that money came from the support here. I believe... So yeah, here's our other expenses, just to wrap everything up. Miguel's van rental ended up being $432.31. His gas, $141.48. And then that police stop, a whopping $2. So that wasn't too bad for an unexpected since. Now for future, the church at Las Piedras, they are now, I'm not sure if Micah mentioned this, but they're now meeting in Jesus's house. So they're looking to purchase new land in the surrounding the village there. And about a block away, I think they showed us one lot that they were looking at, but roughly 800 to purchase the new land for the church, and then 4,000 just to start construction. The church at Turbaco, $700 for renovations. That's Javier's church. He was speaking to us about that. And if Arjona does find a building in the future, that's they're looking at on average $200 for that area, $200 a month for that. So that's all my slides. But then on the 17th, so that's Tuesday morning, we left at 3 and it was pouring. It was pouring. Miguel, bless his heart, he drove slowly already, but he was very cautious that morning. But we finally got there, and when we lifted off, I just kind of made this note in my personal journal. We were talking about lightning on the way over there, and the first hour, it's pretty dark and pretty daunting, but I'll never get over taking off in an airplane, getting above the clouds, especially if it's stormy, getting above the clouds. You're reminded that once you're above the clouds, once you're in God's territory, you're reminded how insignificant storms are, because everything above the clouds, it's all bright, it's all sunny. So the note that I have is, the closer to God you feel, the most the more peace you will have. So my invitation for tonight, I've got some notes here, so bear with me. One of the things that was most striking is how much of a physical manifestation it was of Colossians 3:11. It says, "Here there is not Greek or no Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is in all. Christ is all and in all." We're in totally different places on the planet, but the one thing that unites us is God. The one thing that's universal is God. The language of the Bible transcends any one race or people, and it doesn't belong to any one language. But also, Cartagena and similar Spanish countries, they're also indicative of Matthew 15:8-9. It says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." All around the city, all around Cartagena, you would see pictures of Jesus being from the Catholic background that they are. You'll see pictures of Jesus everywhere. You know, we may see one billboard of a tattooed Jesus down 72, but these pictures are everywhere of Jesus. But they don't know Jesus. Their lives are far from them. But also, the brethren there are so willing to talk to others. And this for a number of reasons, it's encouraging, because the people are so receptive. If they're Catholic, if they're devout Catholic, they're always open to communication, to conversation. So that was a really great thing. We also, me and Mike also made comment about the differences here, whereas people here have their own truths, right? And you don't step on other people's truths, because it's what I know to be true, and I'm going to try to convince you that my truth is the right truth, instead of everybody working to find what the truth is. The problem lies with their misunderstanding of who Jesus is, because they know who Jesus maybe was. They may know some things that he did, some of the ways that he lived, but they need to know who Jesus is. It's the same problem here. It just may be a little bit harder because so many people are closed off. Now, if you do speak to others about Christ, that's great. Keep it up. But if you don't, if you're hesitant for whatever reason, you have to ask yourself, why not? Why am I not speaking about this? Is it because you don't know enough? Is it because you don't know the Bible? Well, then there's a remedy. Read your Bible. Is it because you're not comfortable speaking to others? Let me tell you, God has not called us to be comfortable. He called us to go out into the world, to be uncomfortable, to leave our comfort zones, so that His word may flourish in the world. Because I can honestly say, without a doubt, there was nothing in Colombia that I felt comfortable with, except for maybe the bed at night. But I knew why I was there. And the fact that from the moment I was asked to go on this, I started to convince myself of reasons why probably it's better that I don't go. But of course, I realized that that wasn't me telling myself that. Obviously, it's the deceiver of men. But I knew what my mission was. I knew I had to go because it was one, it was offered to me. Two, God called me. And three, God knows with Him that I can do it. So we can all go out into the world. So this strengthened me. This fact of knowing my mission, but also knowing that there was a great cloud of witnesses here praying for us and just willing to talk to us. I mean, if it wasn't FaceTiming with Adam, we knew you guys were here. We knew that we had the support. We had the prayers, even though we couldn't see them. And of course, Hebrews 12:1 talks about that other cloud of witnesses. But that's what we have today. We always have encouragement coming to us from here on earth, from up in heaven. So if you're a Christian, God has called you. So why don't you answer that call? You don't need a magic formula to talk to others about Christ. A little tact goes a long way, but you don't need a detailed explanation of every step of the way. Well, this is what happens if they say this or they answer this way. You don't need that. All you need, if you know why you were baptized, if you really know why you were baptized, you know enough to talk to others about it. And the last thing I'll say is, you don't have to go across the world to do this. You can go across the road to a supermarket and you'll find somebody that needs to know Jesus. It's all around us. So if you need help with any of this, I hope this has been an encouragement to you of us reporting this, as it was, I know, for us and growing in our faith. But if you need help with anything, please let us know as we sing our song.